All right, man. Hey, it's been too long. Adam Luckett, Kentucky Sports Radio, 11 personnel. I think the last time I saw you was at a Nashville bar.
That's right.
Heading into what I believe KSR said could be the biggest Kentucky Vanderbilt game of all time. It didn't turn out that way.
It was a big game. The biggest Diego Pavia game of all time. It turns out Mike made it on a. We did it like a basketball rapid reaction from the local Tin Roof down there in Nashville, and so we had a good time. That was an interesting night. And then Saturday, really, Mike, that Saturday kind of started. That was kind of the official start of UK saying, hey, now we might need to make a move and we need to figure out if we got, like, it's in play now. I think that what happened that Saturday kind of put the wheels, I think, kind of officially in motion after that beat down and then followed up with a Louisville game. And then before you know it, it's a coaching search going on in Lexington.
Mm-hmm. So natural follow-up, how motivated is Will Stein?
I think he's grateful. I think he's grateful for this opportunity here at Kentucky. In all seriousness, I think, like, for him, I think he's chomping at the bit. I think, in an odd way, he really wanted this job, like, really aggressively kind of, I think, went after it and was eyeing it, really, the whole, I think, kind of this whole season when things were shaky there for Kentucky and Stoops. And so he's got, I mean, he grew up going to games here. His dad played at Kentucky. He played at Louisville, but he's talked about nonstop, just kind of like he grew up a fan here. Like, they had season tickets to football and basketball. His family did. And he's excited. And I think he's been a breath of fresh air in a lot of ways for followers of the program. For me, the thing I keep coming back to is, like, if Stoops did it one way, like, Stein's doing the opposite. Like, it feels like everything is different, and I think the fans are really eating it up right now.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad you said that, because I was literally going to ask you, what I know it's just one camp in, but what is maybe the biggest difference you see from a Will Stein Kentucky as opposed to a Mark Stoops Kentucky program?
I'd say how they talk, how they present the program. Stoops was always like, he was always like real, I think, cautious with what he said into a microphone, right? At the end, it was like, I don't want to make a headline, was like the common phrase we heard, but he was very cautious and very was hesitant or really thought about what he would say before he would come out and say it. Where I think with Stein, there's been more bravado. There's been more, we're going to do this. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to take swings. He went on with Matt Jones and said, if you're scared, go to church. We're not going to back down from anyone. And that's been, I think, the biggest difference in just how they, I think, are going to approach and play style-wise.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I don't keep up much with Vince Morrow, but has he quieted down since we've moved on from Stoops, or is he still out for blood there?
He took a big shot at our friend Nick Roush during the Louisville game while I was sitting next to Nick up in the press box. Vince was on the sideline tweeting at him. So took a pretty big shot. There's been some back and forth, I think, between the coaching staffs, mainly Vince and Kentucky staff. It's gotten quiet a little bit, but it's only going to heat up. I think it'll heat up in June. There's like for Kentucky, this recruiting class, this 2027 class, it's one of their best. Like, it's kind of a 1 in a 15 year type class from a talent perspective. So there's more kind of, you know, big kind of SEC, Big Ten prospects. So they're going after a lot, and they're going to be butting heads, and there's some Louisville commits that they're going to still pursue, and probably vice versa for Louisville and Kentucky commits. So it's going to be, I think, an interesting here few months, specifically the summer. And then when we get in December, is going to be interesting. So I'm sure we'll hear from Vince every now and then. He's still active on social media. You'll still see him on Twitter getting after it. And so I think they're going to cross paths a lot. It's interesting because Stein's alma mater, Trinity, they've got a bunch of players there. A couple are committed to Louisville right now. Kentucky's going to be active there. So there's going to be – and Brohm and Stein were both former Trinity quarterbacks, so they both went to the same high school. So from that aspect, the off the field is almost just as interesting as on the field. We're not going to be lacking for storylines in those Kentucky Louisville games here over the next few seasons.
Yeah, I wanted to go right there because as we're recording this morning, Louisville officially announced, right, where Brohm just got a contract extension. I obviously he's well regarded. I know your fan base probably hates him and hates that program, but he is a really good coach. What is it, do you think, that will be key for Will Stein to maybe turn this into, you know, one heck of a rivalry in that? I mean, I realize it already is a rivalry, but, you know, to kind of amp that thing up where Louisville's got their guy. Now Will Stein's got to prove that he's Kentucky's guy. I mean, I see the makings of what could be a potentially a really good in-state rivalry here.
Yeah, I mean, really throughout, I would say, the modern, since like the 90s, when the rivalry started, it's hard for both of these teams to be good at the same time. Kentucky's had their runs. Louisville's had their runs, but it's been hard for them to both kind of coexist, both be kind of like these fringe top 25 or maybe even higher programs that are making noise. Now, when Brohm got there, Kentucky had the edge. Louisville took it back. They've taken it back the last few years. You cannot argue any different. But for Stein, like, it really comes down to you got to kind of take control of that series. If you don't take control of that series, history has told us that it's just going to be hard for you to have success. Now maybe they're both good enough coaches. We'll see with Stein. Maybe they both become good enough coaches where those two can kind of coexist where they weren't able to in the past. But what history has told us, you know, it's not a huge sample size, but it is a good chunk. It's hard for both of those programs to be good at the same time. And so that's one of his bigger challenges, I think, in the first couple of years is you've got to get that series turned around. You at least got to win one or two. I think if you're ranking important games, that home game gets a little at the end is a really important one. He's got to get that turned around because it's going to be hard, especially when Louisville's kind of rolling right now. They're overachieving where it's historically they've kind of recruited here recently. Vince has a lot to do with that. And Kentucky's can't let that happen. They're going to fight them over some players. So sooner you can get the on-field results, the better I think you're going to be off you're going to be. That's one of the – if you're making, you know, to-do list, that's near the top is to – you've got to win that series. You've got to control that as best as you can.
Mm-hmm. And if I were to ask you, you know, what is your favorite thing that Will Stein has done since taking over? Does anything stand out to you?
I think how they are marketing the program and having some transparency, explaining just how they are operating in some ways. Now, they're closed off. I mean, it is very much the Kirby Smart adjacent when it comes to availability and all that stuff. Like Kentucky was pretty open with Stoops, just practices and all that. And that's kind of changed from a media standpoint. No one cares, but it has changed. But they are marketing the program a lot better, doing more kind of behind the scenes content. He's going on all these different media hits. He's kind of doing a Shane Beamer thing where he's going on every podcast, you know, you can find. And he's really trying to promote the program as best as they can. The coaching staff in general, Mike, is very more active on social media, like a lot more. Where with the last couple of years of Stoops, it was like you didn't even know if they had the internet. I mean, to be honest, like it's at certain points. So a lot more active. And I think that has what he's doing there has really opened them up. I think fans want that. That was one of the bigger complaints, I think, at the end for Stoops, is that there just was no marketing in the program. There was nothing to get excited about. Now they're selling things, and now there's a lot for people to get excited about, and I think the fan base is eating that up right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's well documented that Kentucky spending a ton of money in basketball for the roster, and that's, you know, when we thought there was this rev share, a cap, right? Well, turns out there's no cap when teams are openly saying they're spending $40-plus million on one sport. So, do you have any idea, like a rough estimate of what Kentucky is spending on this roster? Because they really did a good job hitting some key players in the portal, and we know those players don't come cheap. So do you have any idea of roughly what this Kentucky roster, that the budget is?
Yeah, I haven't heard specific numbers. Some of the phrasing is just like they're competitive within the conference. So I would assume they're right there in – you know, they're not at the top tier, right? They're not at the top, but I think they're probably somewhere in that middle class. Now, where they fall in that middle class is up for debate. But I think for football, the deal with JMI, which is Kentucky's multimedia rights, Kentucky's like the biggest JMI school. So they're not with Playfly. They're not with Learfield. I think that's helping the football program. That's been up for debate here, but it seems like with it going on in basketball recruiting, but it seems like the JMI thing has helped Kentucky. And that's the first thing I asked Stein. Introductory press conference. Do you feel like that your resource, because that's a big topic here, because basketball, do you feel like your resource? And he said, yes, I wouldn't have taken the job if I didn't. And he keeps repeating that they have the funds to go get players. They feel very comfortable in that. So as far as we're hearing, they feel like they have the resources and the tools at their disposal to go build a roster that can compete and win games.
And could it help Kentucky that Mitch Barnhart is not the AD anymore in that regards in terms of spending? Because for those that don't know, he was kind of he wasn't really bought into the NIL early, and mm-hmm. and now we've got the governor allegedly. Well, I mean, he didn't mention him by name, but now he's calling out his $1 million no-show job, what have you. But regardless of that, whoever the next Kentucky AD is, do you think it would help in this regard of ramping up NIL if necessary?
I think it could. I think a lot of that's just TBD because we don't know like where that's going to go. It is interesting, like Stein, someone else hired him, and then 6 months in, he's got a new boss. So obviously that's going to be different, but I think it's important here that, you know, you've got to get someone that understands football, but I think everyone kind of understands it in the modern landscape. Everyone understands like that you've got to do what you got to do football-wise and then support your next sport, even if you're a basketball school per se like Kentucky or whatnot, but you still got to support football. I mean, look at what North Carolina did, right? I mean, they went all in. So you've got to do what you can to support the program. And I think that could help. I mean, how much was Mitch just his old school ways? How much will a new look? How much will maybe do they get as like a super fundraiser in here to kind of increase the, for lack of a better term, the payroll for the roster? We'll see. But I definitely think for Kentucky, I think they just needed a fresh start over there. And I think they're going to get that. It's just whenever that AD hire comes. And then Stein is part of that fresh start because he's, you know, brand new. And so Kentucky athletics as a whole is kind of getting, you know, getting to hit the reset button here a little bit. And we'll see what they can do with the kind of this clean slate and this new kind of launching off point specifically for the football program.
Yeah. And another example is obviously Indiana. I mean, they've never been more relevant in my lifetime. Thanks to their football program. But let me ask you about Kenny Minchie. What early returns on him and how good he could be in this Will Stein offense?
Yeah, they seem to like him. I mean, they've said nothing but good things about him. They've said what we scouted or what we kind of did our research on has showed up really in practice. Professionalism is a word I hear a lot. They like kind of his approach that he brings. Stein has still told the story multiple times that Mike Denbrock, Notre Dame offensive coordinator, told them because Denbrock worked with Joe Sloan at LSU. So Mike Denbrock told them that it was really a bang-bang decision between him and CJ Carr. We didn't feel like our record would have been any different if Kenny Minchie had to start those games. So Notre Dame, you know, everyone knows they took their ball and went home after the regular season after not getting the playoff, but they felt like they could have had as good of a year as Minchie. And there's a video of Marcus Freeman out there saying, like, telling Minchie he wasn't the starter was like one of the hardest things he's had to do as a coach. So he's got a lot of fans, and so through spring they've liked what they've seen. But there's a lot of belief, Mike, just in general. It's not necessarily even a Minchie conversation. It's basically like, okay, Will Stein, all his quarterbacks have been rock stars, so if we get anything close to that, Kentucky's probably going to be pretty good at quarterback, and the fan base is not going to know what to do with itself in the stadium if the ball's being tossed around. I keep telling people, I'm not saying they're going to win in Alabama, but there's going to be a drive there where they do some like cool stuff on offense, and everyone's just going to – like the place is going to be unhinged. People are going to lose their minds because they're going to be like, what is this alien sport we're playing right now?
Well, hey, I'm so glad you said that because that's all my notes too. So, that Alabama game, obviously you brought it up. I'm seeing a lot of Kentucky fans bring it up. I have heard nothing I don't think is concrete, but I've heard SEC Network has kind of got that game circled as a possible destination week two. So just, you know, how big is that game? And obviously Kentucky's going to be a big underdog. I'm not saying they have mm-hmm. to win it, but Alabama also under DeBoer. I think DeBoer's a really good coach, but he finds ways to lose these games when he's a massive favorite. how big of a measuring stick for the fan base, maybe even, is this this Alabama game, which is week two, first conference game for Will Stein?
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be more when it gets here, one of the more highly anticipated games in recent memory. Like, fans are really excited about that. People are talking about it. I think it's becoming a thing where everyone's like, okay, we need to, if you're from out of town or out of town, not live in Lexington, like, maybe this is the weekend we go and get a hotel in town and stay the weekend and go to this game. People are excited about it. It's kind of Stein's like a rival. It's like his first big moment to see what he can do. So I don't think like they have to win it at any circumstance, but it's a measuring stick to see where they are. It really is. Cause you mentioned it. Alabama is Alabama, but they've had moments where in these road games where they're not just pummeling teams. And so for Kentucky, it's a measuring stick, I think, to show how competitive they can be this year, because that's really up for debate. The schedule, I think it's top 10. I think SP Plus had it as a top 10 schedule, like toughest schedule this year. And that checks out when you kind of go through the teams and you look at them. And so that's the first moment. Again, that the first half of the schedule specifically is really tough. Like, I think in the back end, they've got some more winnable opportunities. But, you know, A&M, Bama, at South Carolina, LSU, Lane Kiffin at home, at Oklahoma, where I think it kind of softens up a little bit, Mike, after that, when you look Vandy, at Tennessee, Florida at home, at Missouri, Louisville. But that September stretch and October stretch is really tough, and you could see the losses piling up there for Kentucky. So I think that Alabama game is a good chance to show the fans how it's going to be different and how they're going to play and all of that. It's not necessarily they got to win it, but they got to show, I think, something there. And it's a huge game, I think, for them. And it's the one I think fans have circled.
Yeah, and I mean, just how wild is it out of that, I don't, 10 years is an eternity, maybe even 5 years ago in college football, new coach, you know, first-time head coach. I don't think anybody would be like, hey, week two, you know, can we do something? But I think that's a reality of college football in 2026. You can literally change the entire program in an offseason. And again, I'm not saying they have to win, but I don't think it would be like the stunner of all stunners if they actually pull it off. But it's just wild how quickly college football has changed.
It's, to your point, yeah, it's wild how even it's become, or how the floors have raised and the ceilings have lowered, right? It's probably the best way to put it. Just what Indiana did here. Indiana and Kentucky were rivals for a long time in football, and they played, and it was, I'll always say, it was the game to say, well, we're not very good, but we're better than those a-holes up there. Like, at least we beat Indiana this year. And for a lot of older fans, like, they didn't play Louisville, so that was kind of the big game. That was like, you know, like, my grandpa was a season ticket holder for year from the start of Commonwealth until 2010 or so. He gave it up, but he hated Indiana. Like, that was the huge game for him. So a lot of fans, they don't like Indiana, and that Indiana did that, I think, just it blew everyone's mind. But I think at Kentucky it was just like, what the hell, Indiana's doing this? Like, it almost felt like we were dreaming. Like, of course they won't do it. It's Indiana, they're not going to do it. And then it kept happening. And so Stein has brought their name up a lot in just how you can do it here. And I think Kentucky sees that too. And they see, I don't think Kentucky's alone in this. Everyone sees, like, specifically if you're in one of these big two conferences and you've got the checks rolling in, it's possible. It's possible. You get the right coach in here, you can take off like a rocket ship. Mm-hmm. And so Kentucky's hoping they got the right coach and they can take off like a rocket ship.
I know it's way early, but how's the offensive line coming together? I know Lance Hurd, the left tackle, I listened to you guys on 11 personnel. He's been banged up. He should be fine for the season. But how's that unit collectively coming together?
Yeah, after the spring game, Stein and Sloan both gushed about the offensive line. Both feel like it can be a really good offensive line for them. Stein said on KSR Matt Jones this week that, you know, he was with some Joe Moore Award finalists over there at Oregon, and he thinks it's as good as first five as he's had or as he's been around. So that's a strong statement, right, when you look at what Oregon's kind of done on the offensive line here recently. Hurd's a big part of it. They need him to be good. Colton Price is a center they got, was one of the best centers in the Big 12. They're asking him to be pretty good. They got Tegger Shabola from Ohio State. The big thing is, and Stein even admitted this, it was like, we just didn't have anything on the offensive line. So for us to have a chance, we had to spend a lot of money in the portal on fixing that and getting that set to give us a chance the rest of the offense. So they're paying for that to be one of the better position groups on their team. They're saying the right things right now. We'll see what happens when the games get here. But right now, there's a lot of confidence in the football building with the offensive line.
Who will be the number one receiver for Kentucky? Do you have a good idea on that yet?
Yeah, I think former Oklahoma and LSU receiver Nick Anderson is the favorite. But I will say DJ Miller played as a true freshman last year at Kentucky. He had the big catch over Boo Carter in the Tennessee game. I think some people will remember. Tennessee fans were not happy with Boo Carter at that point in the season. Remember seeing that online? So he's a guy that I think they really like. It kind of came down to Kentucky Ole Miss when they were recruiting him. He's from St. Louis. That was a big get for Stoops' staff, and the new staff seems to really like him a lot. So he's a guy I would say to watch for if you're looking for maybe like sleepers on Kentucky's team that can maybe turn into a big-time player for them this year. He would be one to watch. And then Willie Rodriguez, the tight end, they've gushed about him all spring. And they really like what he brings to the table. You know, LSU's tight end last year, Tre'Davious Green had a good season. Oregon's tight ends had a really good season. One's going to go in the first round Thursday night at the draft. They like what Willie brings. So that's kind of what it's looking like. They wide receiver, I think, kind of it was a little unproven, I think, entering spring. So we'll see when the season gets here. But they seem to really like DJ Miller, and they went out and got Nick Anderson, I think, to be their top guy.
I didn't know it was legal to throw the tight end in Lexington, but that's good to know. How are they looking at running back?
Yeah, that's another interesting one because they basically went out and they got, okay, we got C.J. Baxter and Javonte Barnes. C.J. Baxter, Texas, Javonte Barnes, Oklahoma. But both of these guys have injury histories. I think Barnes sat out just to preserve his red shirt mostly last year, but he's had a long list of injuries. Baxter blew up his knee before his sophomore season at Texas, has had hamstring problems, I think, going back to high school. And so can they keep them healthy? I know Baxter was practicing, but they held him out for the spring game. Barnes, you didn't really hear anything about. So I'm not sure like what his status is. Running backs, I think, if you're ranking question marks on this football team, it's towards the top end. If they get a healthy C.J. Baxter, I think Kentucky's going to feel really good. But if he's not 100% healthy, it's a big question mark for UK. They even moved to safety Martellus Carter to running back. I think most of that was they just didn't have kind of the bodies for practice at tailback. So they moved him, but they seem to like what he brings. I don't know how much of an impact he'll have. It seems like Baxter and Barnes were the top two, clearly. But their health is a big kind of focus point, I think, going into the season. Can these guys stay healthy? Are they 100% healthy? Because if you get the Baxter, I think that when he was a true freshman at Texas, I think Kentucky will feel pretty good. But I think that's a big kind of TBD at this moment.
And then, again, so I understand completely all so much focus on offense, Stein, new quarterback, things of that nature. But any thoughts on the new-look defense there in Lexington?
When I say different, like everything's different from the Stoops era, this might be the – like offense is obviously going to be different. But that's expected, right? Like obviously that's expected. Defense is going to look – I mean, they go left, they're going right now, you know. They go straight, they're putting in reverse now. It's going to look totally different how they go after it in attack. I think it's going to be a defense that – wants negative plays, tackles for loss, interceptions. But if we give up a bomb, explosive play, so be it. Our offense gets on the field faster. It's going to be built on, you know, pressure heavy, blitzing heavily on third down. Stein has talked, feels like 100 times about, in his opinion, A&M had the best third down defense in college football last year. Like what they were doing was spectacular. And that was a big reason why I hired Jay Bateman to bring kind of that, whatever that secret sauce playbook Elko had down there in College Station to bring that to Lexington and try to install it here. But Kentucky before was known as good run defense, big 3-4 defense, zone coverage. You got to like, there's no rule throwing it over the top of them unless you're Tennessee. You had to like go 10, 12 plays to score on them and they would slow the games down. I don't think it's going to be like that this year. They're going to be aggressive trying to get off the field fast, but they're going to give up some explosive plays. And so it's going to look totally different than what we've seen, I think, over the last decade here at Kentucky. And even before, even Brooks played more like Stoops, like defense. Like they really haven't played this style of defense that they're going to play really since like probably the Hal Mumme days. And so how are they at it? And how does it even look like? It's like it's hard for me to project what that kind of style will look like at Kentucky because we just haven't seen it. And how does it work out with their personnel? And that's something we'll find out when the games start.
And I mean, you almost have to be that way nowadays, don't you? In this era, especially if you're going to try to be explosive and quick on offense, like, I get it. You know, we want to be steel curtain on defense and we want to be the 99 Rams on offense, but that's just not realistic in today's college football.
Well, you want to be multiple. We want to stop the run. We want to win the turnover battle, Mike. That's what we want to do. Multiple on offense, stop the run on defense, win the turnover battle. Do that, we're going to win a lot of football games here at Southeastern Conference.
Yeah.
I think Kentucky, I personally felt like the Stoops kind of plan, I think they got a little bit these last couple of years. Teams kind of figured out what they were doing and had a beat on them. Or I think the new defense they're running, I think, is more kind of popular in the league. More teams are doing that. So to see what that looked like with all the simulated pressures and playing more press man and heating the quarterback up on third down and not being afraid to give up. You know, you don't want to give up a ton of explosive, but on third down in high leverage situations, not being afraid to just man up and pin your ears back and go for it and play an aggressive, bold style of football. And that overall, that's what Stein wants to play. He said it, and it's going to be different than the last era, and we'll see how much different it really ends up being when the games begin.
All right, last thing for you, Adam. Really appreciate your time. I know it's way early, and a lot can change, and we won't hold this to hold you to this or anything, but can we get our early record prediction for Kentucky this fall? Where are you kind of thinking as of late April that Kentucky's record will be in the regular season?
Yeah, I think they get to six. I think they get to six. They go to a bowl game. I think it's a rough first half of the season. And then I think they find something. I think Minchie hits another gear here in the back half, really starting, I would say, with that Vandy game. They have a strong close to the season. They go to a bowl game. It's maybe not the big splash start everyone wanted, but I think they get to six. I think they'll have a really good chance to get to seven. And I think they're going to a bowl game, and they're going to feel good about the 2027 year, because I think they're by the end of the year, I think people will be talking like Minchie might be one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC in 27.
Well, Kentucky fans, they'd rather win at Tennessee or at home against Florida. I mean, they kind of just own Florida at this point, right?
That's you bring up a great point. Florida fans get mad when I put this online, like really mad. Really, I mean, like you want to get under Florida fan skin, Mike. You call them Kentucky South, call them Kentucky South, and they hate it. They wanted to drive up here and fist fight you. You call them Kentucky South. But John Summerall, obviously, Brad White, Kentucky defense coordinator for like a decade. Chris Collins, half decade, was the secondary coach here. I mean, on and on. And he's got like 10 guys, I think, on that staff that worked at Kentucky. So they are Kentucky South. And at a time, Summerall was who everyone wanted to be the Kentucky coach. So that's an interesting matchup. And obviously, to your point, right, Kentucky's kind of had Florida's number a little bit in this series. And Florida fans will tell you it was just because of Billy Napier. That's the only reason. And so that's a very fascinating game because there's a world where, and not that crazy, where if one thing goes opposite for Summerall, he's at Kentucky right now, right?
Yeah.
You know, if Stoops gets the A&M job, Summerall's the head coach here. It's going on year three or whatever it would be. So that is very interesting. The Tennessee one is tough, but there's just more juicy storylines to me with that Kentucky-Florida game at home. And I think it's going to set up where it's probably going to be a big game for both teams later in the year.
All right, Adam, thank you so much. Before you go, can you tell our audience how to follow you and how to find all your work over at Kentucky Sports Radio?
Yeah, KentuckySportsRadio.com, KSR Plus on the On3 Network, KSR YouTube channel. 11 Personnel goes live weekly. We even got a baseball podcast, Mike. I know you don't care. We're doing some baseball stuff. Adam Luck is doing some baseball stuff over there at KSR. So that's where you find me. KSR, KSR Plus, KSR YouTube channel. And occasionally here on that SEC podcast. Like that's, I think you're still calling that. I don't know.
No.
I don't know if
that's the name of it for now until Cousin Shane takes it over. But yeah.
I didn't know if Paul renamed it the Brat Channel or something. I wasn't sure yet. I didn't get the memo, but just making
sure.
We'd
probably be doing better numbers if I changed it to that. You know what?